Amen, amen. And that's good. That's good stuff. That's real good stuff. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We began this message a few weeks ago before the Bible conference, and I got started on it, didn't quite finish it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 1. Thank you again, JIM Club. Appreciate it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16. Look at this passage with me. And here we go. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." At least it should be from the Lord. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Verse number 3, very important here. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Let me say that again. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. But by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Let's look back at verse number 3 one more time. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." A few weeks ago, I started this message, and we're going to do part 2 of it here this evening. How to have God guide your thoughts. How to have God guide your thoughts. In times in my life where I really just wanted to know exactly what God wanted me to do. Really did. And sometimes you have to wait. Kind of like we talked about this morning, you know, if we decide, well, I'm going to give him this amount of time and then I'm going to go ahead and do what I want anyway, we're probably really not going to hear from him because we don't really want to hear what he has to say. But we got to hang on to God until he brings the answer. John R. Rice used to say that prayer is asking, and the answer to the prayer is receiving. Now, he says you can pray and pray and pray. You should pray until you get an answer, or God changes your prayer. Sometimes we pray for the wrong thing. And after a while, you pray and you receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on our own lust, James talks about. So sometimes we're looking for the Lord's direction, but we've already figured out where we want to go. We want to just get God in on it. That's not what we're looking for here. I have found that a lot of times God takes us in directions we never even thought about. So we want to hear what he has to say. So tonight, part 2 on how to have God guide your thoughts. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for your blessings. Again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we do that every time I pray. I know I do, but Lord, I that's what we need. We're just glad to have your word and your blessings and your truth. And Lord, I want to be able to share this truth. And Lord, we make it difficult. The difficult time, really the difficulty is not knowing what to do, is being humble enough to do it, to being meek enough to do it, to have faith enough to do it. And so Lord, I pray that you'll guide our thoughts here this evening. Help us see your word. May each of us personally actually open our hearts to the truths that are in your word here this evening. We want you to guide our thoughts, and yet if we're not careful, we'll listen to your word with certain scrutiny and question marks and decide whether we want to listen to it or not, whether we want to judge it true or not, and we no wonder we don't know how to have you guide our thoughts. We're not willing for you to teach us how to guide our thoughts. Guide our thoughts so we can have our thoughts guided. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us here this evening, and I need you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Don't want to spend a lot of time, but I do want to give us a few points from last time just to make it clear. Now, I begun this message a few weeks ago. It speaks to a question that many of us have pondered in our Christian lives. We say we want to know God's will for our lives. We say that if we just knew exactly what God wanted, that we would do it. And then some ideas come into our heads, and then we wonder if those ideas are from God or from our own desires. Sometimes we become impatient. We want God to give us an answer, and we want it now. Demanding of God is not a good way to please God. And if we are claiming God's promise on something in particular, we need to pray and watch and wait and allow God to keep his promise. I'll be honest with you, I've seen too many folks, who say, they get all fired up and they want to serve God, and all of a sudden they go out on something. Now listen, anybody can give somebody the gospel. You're saved. You know how you got saved? Well, you can tell somebody else. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, by the way, even then you should do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Spend some time yielding to him, asking God to give you his spirit as you speak to someone. But a lot of times people have a lot of other things they're thinking about. And most times, I hate to say it, but most times we're looking for God to give us direction because we're trying to figure out a way to make life easier on ourselves. We want something to happen because there's a problem. This person's a problem. This issue's a problem. And we're wanting some things that maybe God is actually trying to take us through, again, like we talked about this morning. I believe some folks want an answer to their problem or some focus and direction in their lives, but they really want God to offer a few options from which they can choose. They want God's will as long as it's the will they want. I've also found that sometimes we want to know God's will, and we want it now, but if God's will doesn't reveal itself on our time schedule, we will decide a will and put God's name on it. That person is really not looking for God's will, because if they were, they would not accept anything other than the peace of knowing that they are in the middle of God's will. Some folks don't mind if they are not in God's will as long as they are in a will that they're willing to want. If you do not know for sure that something is God's will, I'm talking about something, you know, don't say, is it the will of God for me to have pepperoni pizza or sausage? All right. If you're allergic to pepperoni, don't have pepperoni. My guess is God doesn't want you to have one. All right. But sometimes we get kind of crazy. Although maybe it's the will of God for you to be in better shape. You're not supposed to eat pizza at all. Now that's a different story. I don't think that's God's will. I'm sure it's not. Some folks will not wait because they think that apparently God cannot make it plain to them. Well, I've been waiting and waiting. He hasn't done so. I get that. You know, that's a lie too. I mean, the reason most people do not know what is of God and what is not of God is because they do not allow God to be God in their lives when God does lead them. They do not see it or they do not hear it because they really don't have ears to hear. What God is telling them will cause them to exercise their faith, and they somehow think that if the answer is from God, it's going to be easy, it won't require anything. But wait a minute, the just are to live by faith. Let me say something else that has happened in my life. It's not really on here, but I've noticed there's been times when God impresses me about something that would be good for me to do. And then he kind of rips the vision right out from underneath of me. He gives you some direction, say, well, that'd be a good thing to do. And we've got to be careful, again, we don't get ahead of him. But God gives you sometimes a little glimpse of how he's going to use you. Be patient and let him do it. I remember years ago when we were still going to a mainline denominational church on Sunday nights and Wednesday night, we were visiting a church open door in Westminster, Maryland. And, I was a choir director of this little church. And we had 22 people in the choir. The choir loft only held 21, so you had to pray that somebody was sick every week. And, no. Nah. But we had a nice little choir, a nice little church, and I enjoyed doing that. And we go to church over there, and of course their choir was 50, 60 people, you know. And I remember thinking, boy, wouldn't it be neat to, you know, lead a choir of 60 people? Wouldn't that be something? That'd be really great. We laughed. In 1987, we went down to the National Sword Conference, and it was at Bob Jones University that year, and they had that 7,000-seat auditorium all filled up, and we were down there for the week, and we got in the car and came home, and I said, wouldn't it be neat to lead the singing at the National Sword Conference, and we laughed. Within 15 years later, I had done both. I've been leading the singing there for 20 years. Now, I'm not bragging. What I'm saying is, God does sometimes. But, you know, it wasn't my job to go down there and say, you know, I think God has told me that I'm supposed to lead the singing in the National Sword Conference. And so, just so you know, next year, I'll be here. And I'll take the honorarium, no problem. And I had a long time ago, I had some guy, he was coming here years ago when we first got up here. And I remember sitting out here, and I'm not trying to make fun of him, I'm honest or not, but he was sitting out there, and he said, Pastor, the Lord told me I'm supposed to preach next week. And he was serious. I mean, he wasn't just joking. He was serious. And I know what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach on Noah. I said, well, I'll tell you what. As soon as he tells me, I'll let you know. Sometimes we have our own desires, and we put some things in there, and we think we know what God wants us to do. I do find, and we'll deal with this here this evening, at the end, Lord willing. But let me give you a couple principles here to start us out. Number one, from last week, we said, God is the source of all truth. He says, the preparation, verse 1 of our passage, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The arrangement, the mental disposition, the preparation of what we should be thinking, what should be in our heart, and what we should be saying is from the Lord. We need to settle, and I said from Psalm 119, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. We need to settle that God knows truth. The truth is here. It's not in here. It's not anywhere else. If it conflicts, contradicts the word of God, it's not truth. Now, you need to go, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. I'll work with the need of not to be ashamed. We need to study. We need to study the word of God. Study the words. Get out an old dictionary. I mean, just plain study the words. We ought to know the word of God. And we had to settle right now that the word of God is inspired by God. Listen, it's not just cunningly devised fables. But these are holy men of God who were moved by the Spirit when they wrote. This is the eternal, infallible, inerrant word of God. That just you've got to settle. If you don't settle that, you're not going to know anything, because don't expect God to, ooh, big light coming in and say, this is what you're supposed to do. I wouldn't expect that. Just don't expect that. He gave it all in the word of God. The fact is, most people aren't, they're looking for some will of God that's way down the road somewhere, but they're not willing to do the revealed will of God where they are right now. There's several places. Just go back and study. This is the will of God. I think Brother Nathan did that with the teens or somebody. Did a study through the Bible where it says, now this is the will of God. Do that. And that's not that hard. Do that part first. Follow him first. And you may be surprised what he'll start letting you in on down the road, but you need to start with the things that we do know for sure. So God is the source of all truth. Number two, man tends to lie to himself. Verse 2 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. We think we have pure motives and right thinking, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. We think we're thinking must be right because we thought it. I'm so smart. I thought it just made sense. It woke me up in the middle of the night. Boom. Well, you had too much pizza for a night, and you got dreams going on. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not his will. It's not his will. We lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves. We even build arguments to convince ourselves it's okay because in our heart we really don't think so, but we want it to be. And so we come around and we convince ourselves what we're supposed to do. See, God, the Lord, OK, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, weigheth the spirits. He knows what's true and what's not true, and we talk ourselves in a lot of things. Got to be careful. The source, God is the source of all truth. Men tend to lie to themselves. Number three I found last week was if God is the source of all truth and men tend to lie to themselves, then we need to turn things over to God to get his thoughts and not our thoughts. This is not difficult. This is not brain surgery here. The Bible says in verse 3, here's our work. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit. Remember from last week, to roll it over onto him. To take that big rock, that great big burden, put it in his front end loader, and let him just move it wherever it needs to be. Remember that from last a few weeks ago? We commit it unto him. Now, committed him is not saying, you know, I probably should put that rock in his in the bucket of his front end loader there. Yep, I sure should. That's not committing. I believe that if I put it in the bucket over there, he could take that thing and move it anywhere he wants to move it. That's not committing. That's belief in the facts, but it hasn't done it. It's the same thing as you get saved. You can know all the facts about Christ, and you can believe that he died and rose again for the sins, but until you place your trust in him. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made of salvation. But you can confess anything you want with your mouth, but that doesn't mean you believe it in your heart. You've got to get to the point where you're willing to put all your eggs in one basket. That's what we have to do for salvation. That's what we have to do if we want to know the will of God. We got to take all of our eggs, all of our burdens, and put them in his hands and say, you tell me what you want to do it when you want to tell me, and I'm ready. That doesn't mean we're going to go back and scheme and connive and figure out some way to make this work. And, you know, I really think it's supposed to be this, but I don't know. But that's what I think. So I think that's what I'm going to work toward. So until God get moving, I'm going to be doing so-and-so to reach my goal. Well, to a certain extent, there's some truth in that. For instance, I felt when I was a 15-year-old boy, I ought to be in a ministry somewhere. Now, I stuttered so bad, I figured I couldn't be a pastor, so I was into music. I wasn't really great, but I was a boy and I was loud. And so they encouraged me in my singing. And so I went to school for singing and said, that's what I'll do. That'll be my ministry. Well, I grew up in a church where I didn't know where to go to school. Independent fundamental Baptist churches and colleges was a whole subculture I knew nothing of. But I did know that I was going to need to know music. And my dad says, if you're going to go to college, this is the college you're going to go to. Well, it turned out I had a decent school of music. It was on its way out, but all the old teachers were still there, and I got a lot of private attention because it really wasn't a very large school of music at the time. It was part of a liberal arts college. Now, the rest of the college was a mess, to be honest with you, and I knew that. But I obeyed my dad, and it's a good thing I did, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have met her. But anyway, we ended up together, and Lord bless. So I said, I'm going to be a music director, so I moved in that direction. I didn't really know for sure what I was supposed to do, but I moved in that direction. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I was saying, I'm going to prepare myself to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. I don't think he's mad when you do that. When I went to seminary at the age of 30, I still wasn't sure I was going to be a pastor. I just felt like I needed to know more Bible so I can become a better music director. Now, I was going to take a year. It was going to give me a second bachelor's degree because I already had a bachelor's degree, and I was going to have a concentration on the Bible and ministries. And so I thought, well, if I did a dissertation, I'd get a second bachelor's degree. Now, I didn't know whether I was going to be a pastor yet, but there again, I said, you know what? God cannot be upset with me for wanting to know how to serve him better. So I moved in that direction. On the other hand, I didn't go out there and say, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to pastor a church of 2,000. I'm going to do that. We got to be careful with that. So anyway, God's a source of all truth. Man tends to lie to himself. And if those things are true, then we need to commit our works, turn them over to him. And he says our thoughts, our intentions, our plans, our imaginations, our purpose in life will be established. Now, also, again, just as a little warning here, don't let some things become so concrete. I know the Bible says that his calling and elections is sure. He never changes it. Okay. I had some people who say when I left Open Door as a music director to come up here to be a pastor, that I was going out of God's will. Now I knew in my heart, I committed my way to him. In fact, I said, Lord, if you just put it on the billboard, Sterling Walsh is supposed to go to Africa to be a missionary, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I just want to make sure I'm in the middle of your will. That's all I want. If I'm supposed to stay where I am, that's fine. I just want to know that I'm where I need to be. And I just kept waiting. Now, I didn't move. I didn't quit my job. I stayed. It wasn't any reason why I had to do any of that. I just stayed right where I was, kept praying, and kept giving myself to him. And when the time came, he gave me that direction. And I had no doubt in my mind I was supposed to come up here. No doubt in my mind. Now, somebody else was saying, well, I don't think so. Your problem, Sterling, I had one very close to me. Your problem, Sterling, you're not willing to accept where God put you. You're a music man. You're not a pastor. There's no way in the world you're ever going to be a pastor of church. Well, I knew that there was nothing in me that makes me a great pastor, but I knew that God had called me up here to be a pastor, so if he called me, he's going to have to do it. And like I said this morning, he says he uses the foolish things in the world to confound the wise, so I was a great candidate. He's going to get a lot of glory because it wasn't going to be Sterling Walsh. It was going to have to be him, and everybody's going to know it. So he says, listen, we take these things and turn them over to him. He says he will establish, he will confirm, he will direct, he will fashion your direction, your work, it will be established. Your thoughts will be established. Well, how's it going to happen? I don't know. It's going to be different for me than it was for you, or for you than it is for me. Go back in the Bible. How many times did they do the exact same thing? Everybody's different. Why? Because we don't want some kind of formula. Well, you got to do so. And if you know how we lie to ourselves, we'll kind of put it all together and create so we fall into the formula so we can say, God told us to do this. It's always different. Number four. Now, I'm going to say some things here, and I want you to understand this because it talks about as we're established. Here's some things you need to think about. Number four. Jehovah. Why did you say Jehovah? Because the word is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord. Jehovah. The self-existing one. The one who made all creation. The one who keeps all things. With him, all things consist. Listen, this is God. This is the big as you get. Jehovah put everything in place, and he knows where everything is and how everything works. Let me say that again. Jehovah has put everything in place. He knows where everything is and how things work. So if he wants you to be at a certain place, he'll get you there. If he wants you to do a certain thing, he'll make sure you do if you're willing to yield to him. The only thing that can stop this, we can limit an unlimited God by simply saying, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to obey. He's not going to force us. Now, we may be miserable while we're running away from him. Ask Jonah. But the word of God will be clear to us. Look at verse 4 in our passage. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, do you believe this? This has to be settled. I finished this up last week. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and this shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, watch me. We say, here, Lord, I know you know everything. And then in the midst of us trying to find the will of God, something evil occurs. Someone who works evil, so to speak. Just works against you. You say, well, I guess it's not the will of God because, look, I've got this great big obstacle in front of me. It's just going to make, I can't do it because God knows he was there. You remember a year or so ago, we did that message on the Red Sea. I said, is this the Red Sea? God didn't forget where he put the Red Sea. God didn't forget where he put the mountains. And God knew the Egyptians were going to come up behind them, and they were going to stuck in the corner. In fact, he says, I'm doing this to show them who I am. See, we get stuck in the corner, and we're saying, I know God told us to come out here, but now we're in the corner. What are we going to do now, God? God didn't walk around the corner in a pillar of fire and say, that's where I put that Red Sea. I wonder where that thing was. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot about that kid. Hey, turn around, go back. He didn't do that. That obstacle, that problem, that evil person, that evil thing that seems to be stopping you, he knew all about it. He knows exactly where it is. And we start trying to say, well, I guess it's not the will of God anymore. Well, was it the will of God? If it's the will of God, it's still the will of God. He says, we got to decide that God knows what's best. That passage in James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what we do? This looks clear. It looks like a good run. This must be the will of God. And if we come up into an obstacle, well, that must not be the will of God. Okay, we'll go back here. Well, that can't be the will of God. Well, maybe it's over here. And in fact, it was just a Red Sea, and we were supposed to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, we've got to decide God's the source of truth. God's the one who leads us. Until we decide that, don't expect Him to be establishing our thoughts, because we're going to be running around making our own thoughts. If you think, look at verse 5. If you think you can do anything without God, you're already on the wrong side of God. These verses are not, they're here for a reason. Look what it says. Everyone that's proud in heart is an abomination. In other words, disgusting. It's an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. We think we're doing the right thing, and we say, well, there's an obstacle here, so my friend said this is probably the will of God, and my other friend said that's probably true, and I'm tending to agree with, so I think we're going to go over here. Was it going against the word of God? Are you just scared to go that way because you think God's put an obstacle there? Now, again, here's what some people will do. Here's the opposite. They'll decide, this is where I'm supposed to go, and then the obstacle comes in, because God, it wasn't the will of God, and they'll put their head down there and keep banging and banging and banging in the flesh and beat themselves half to death trying to do what they thought the will of God was. Now, what happened when they came to the Red Sea? What did Moses say? I already told you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He didn't say, all right, put on your boots, pull your pants up, here we go. That's not what he said. He said, stand still. And he went over on dry ground. Well, that can't happen. I bet you that's what they thought too. But my friends all agree. That's the right thing. Well, did God agree? See, the source of truth is the Lord. We tend to lie to ourselves because our hearts are deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Number 5. If God is not establishing your thoughts, it could be that you just need to wait. But it could be that you have not really committed your work unto the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let me ask you, when you're looking for the Lord's direction, are you demanding a certain type of answer? If you're demanding a certain type of answer, you haven't committed it to God. If you're demanding Him to answer you in a certain way, chances are you're not, I know Gideon and the fleece and all that, but chances are you're not really committed it to Him. Because I said last time, God knows I'm stupid. He knows what I don't know. And He knows that I don't know it. And if I need to know it, He knows how to make sure that I know. Right? And if He hasn't told me yet, then apparently I'm not supposed to know yet. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying, well, tell me, Lord, whatever, just give it to you. No, wait. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You keep the nose in the book. You want to know the will of God, but we don't bother to come to church to hear the word of God preached. Blessed the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He bring forth fruit in his season. Leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So you want to know the will of God, and we don't read the word of God, or we don't come to hear it? Well, don't expect him to tell it. Don't expect it. Well, I went to church when I was when I was a kid. I went to Sunday school. Well, good. Let me ask you this: you went to school too. Tell me Pythagorean's theorem. Ah, somebody got. Oh, shut up, Darren. Don't ruin my illustration here. Most of them didn't know that, there are a lot of things we learned in school we don't know anymore. Same thing about the Word of God. Keep filling it with the Word of God. Keep filling the Word of God. Keep filling the Word of God. Are you running ahead of God because the answer has not yet been revealed? Then you haven't committed it to God. Are you waiting for a certain direction for the answer or for it to come from a certain direction? Then you're probably not committed. You probably haven't committed to the Lord. He's going to do it in ways you're never going to think. So what are we going to do? How to know if we're being guided by the Word of God. Number 6. First thing we need to do is make sure we're right with God. Look at verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know what it says? I messed up. Lord, I'm wrong. And I throw myself at your mercy. Teach me truth. I don't want to do that again. So iniquity is purged from us as we first confess it and get the old ones forgiven. But it's also purged from our life when we say, I'm going to let truth guide me. With the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. God's got the answer. So I'm not moving until he gives me the answer. If you truly fear God, you will want to get as far away from sin as you can, and you want to get as close to truth as you can. So we got to accept God's truth as truth. We may need to beg for mercy in all areas where we have not accepted God's word on a matter that's as truth. I want God's word. Lord, there's been times I did this on my own. Confess it. I want to throw out my interpretation, my plans. Let me give it to you. Total surrender. You have longed for sweet peace and for joy to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot find rest and be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. All. You want God to guide you, then you've got to stop having somebody else guide you in the middle. Have you ever been someplace, you got two people in your car telling you how to get there? And one said, I know this, the shortcut. No, that's not the shortcut, it's over here. Talk about a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. Oh, my soul. After all, just wait, shut up. I'll try it my own way. You see, we do the same thing with God. We tell God we want him to guide us, but then we're still telling him or giving him advice on how to guide us. We become a backseat driver in our own car. By the way, you've seen these bumper stickers. Years ago it said, God's my co-pilot. Then this bumper sticker came out and says, if God's your co-pilot, change seats. Because you want him to be the pilot. You go along with the ride. Do what the pilot tells you to do. And there's a lot of truth to that. Number 7. This is a long one. I'm not sure you can kind of word it yourself here. But doing things God's way, not what you think is his way, but doing things God's way makes things work out even in areas you really don't expect to work out. In this particular time, as with folks who are intentionally against you. Look at verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, this is a general principle. Now, some folks will get even angrier, at least at first. On the other hand, the best chance we have of being in good standing with others is by living in a way that pleases the Lord, and not by in a way that pleases the world. And we cannot say we've committed our work unto the Lord if we're not obeying the Lord and doing what pleases Him. When we please Him, there's a better chance we're going to be at peace with those around us. I've seen people who have been objectors. They've been confrontational. They've been a force to reckon with. And yet God can just the heart of the king is in His hand. Like a river, He can turn anywhere He wants. See, we're looking at the will of God and say, well, that can't be the will of God because this person or this thing is standing in my way. Well, God knows all about that. He knows how these things work. Maybe He just wants you to wait a little bit. Maybe it's just some timing. Maybe He just wants you to grow up a little bit. Maybe He just wants you to mature a little while. There, who knows? It may be God's will for you to do this, and you say, well, I know He told me to do this. All right, well then, what have you been doing to prepare to move that direction? If it's wrong, if it's not wrong, then go ahead and move that direction. Keep preparing. Be ready when He's ready for us. Let me give you number 8. It's better to be satisfied with what God gives you than to try to work around God to get more of what you think you want or need. Look at verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way. He tries to weave a plan. He manipulates things. But the Lord directeth his steps. He builds it up. He erects it. He sets it up for him. God prepares for prosperity. Now, what's this saying? We're in the middle. We want to know God's will. And we just think, you know, it's not a big sin. It's just a little thing. Probably nobody's going to know. If I would just do this, I know I'd be one step closer to be where God wants me to be. You can't sin and be a step closer to where God wants you to be. We're not supposed to be there, at least not yet. See, the issue is, commit thy work unto Him and thy thoughts shall be. Well, how am I supposed to know? Give it to Him. Roll it over on Him. Leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Keep it, just leave it there. Stand still. Number 9. Once God, this is, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Psalm 37:3. Oh man, look what time it is. You know what? Let's do this next week. We'll do this next week. You know me and how it is here. All right. Let me give you a precursor so you come back. Now watch me. Once God establishes your thoughts, how do we make it actually come to pass? Once you say, well, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure I'm supposed to do this or I'm supposed to do that. I don't know. Well, we commit ourselves. Roll it over into Him and really leave it there. And He says your thoughts will be established. Again, here's His thoughts. Stay in the book. Well, there's a lot of stuff in there I don't understand. Well, are you saved? Then the author lives inside your heart. And the Bible says that Jesus told him that He told the disciples he's going to send a comforter who will guide them into all truth. He'll teach you things and bring them back to your remembrance. So take the Word of God. Again, you ought to read a chapter in the Old Testament, chapter in the New Testament every day. If I were you, I'd read a proverb, one chapter of the Proverbs every day. I'd read one chapter of Psalms every day. Now, you get to Psalm 119, you might want to split it up or something, a page or two at a time. I know, it's half the Bible in there. But anyway, but get the Word of God in there. And don't just say the words. Think about them as they go. We have some ladies who are actually writing the Bible back out. And they're not writing their own Bible. And they're not making their corrections as they go along or anything. They're literally writing the Bible out word for word. Well, so why in the world do you do that? Because by the time you write that word, you've thought about that word. You know every word of God is inspired. Every jot and tittle, the cross of every T, the dot of every I, if you want to say it that way, God put it there. That's the way he wanted it. And when he puts a definite article, he means a definite article. He puts a when he puts an indefinite article, there's an indefinite article. When he says ye, he means all y'all. If he says thou, he means you individually. That's all in there. That's why we use the old King James Bible. It's more specific, besides being from the right manuscript, but it's more specific. I don't want the Bible for dummies. Now I'm a dummy. But I want the real thing. And I have the author to help me through it. Well, I've read that part 5 times. I still don't understand it. Well, apparently, it's not time for you to understand that part. Go back and hit it again. How many of you, we have saints in here who have been reading their Bible for 30, 40, 50 years of life. How many of you folks who have been reading your Bible or you've been a Christian for years and years have come across a passage in the last 6 months that you said, I never saw that before? Raise your hand. That's right. That's like this morning's message. I was doing my daily reading, and I saw something I had never said. I never really seen, like I had seen it that way. If thou be the Son of God. Ha! You really think, you think God cares about you? Wait a minute. I'm a child of God too. I'm a joint heir with Christ. We're brothers. We're in the same family. I've been adopted. And so if he can give that, if the promise is to Jesus there, the promise is for me too. I just happen to see, I don't know, just it hit me. And so, commit thy work. Now, once you've committed your work unto the Lord, what you need to do, and God starts telling you what to do, establishing your thoughts, how do you actually make it come to pass? Come back next Sunday night. We'll talk about it, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for taking care of us. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I appreciate these dear folks who want to know the word of God. Lord, we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we're supposed to teach us to preserve all things whatsoever you have commanded us. And you said, lo, I'm with you all the way. Lord, I just thank you that you give us the word. You didn't put us in a life without the rule book, without the handbook, without the manual. You've given us the manual. We just need to read it. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to lift up and rise up in the arms of faith, commit ourselves to you, commit our life unto you, commit our way unto you, and just allow you to bring it to pass. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to